Good evening and welcome to Women to Women. It's great to see you all, some faces that we've not seen for a few weeks. So it's great to see you back with us at Women to Women. Well, ladies, tonight is our final installment of our series of Esther. Boy, did that go quick. We have come to the end of our series, Esther, Daughter of the King. Of course, this year we are looking at the heroes of the faith. It was lovely on Tuesday night at Hart Hill. We had a great night. But it was lovely at Hart Hill on Tuesday to revisit the vision once again, wasn't it? The leaders were there on Tuesday night. You see, every year at Women to Women, you guys all know we are led by vision. But the Hart Hill ladies, they didn't know that. So we had to get them up to speed. So we had to share with them the vision for this year. And since we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, we're going to throw off every weight that so easily entangles us. We're going to run the race with perseverance and endurance. So in order to do that, in order to run our race, we are looking to those heroes in the faith to inspire us. We can learn so much from their life, their walk with God. We first of all started looking at our brother Abraham, a friend of God, and that's where the Hart Hill ladies have started. But over the last 4 weeks, we have been looking at our heroine in our faith, and her name is Esther. And so far in this series, we have looked at some P's, haven't we? We first of all looked at her pain. All that this young girl, and yes, she was a young girl. We forget that sometimes. She was only a young teenage girl. And we looked at all of her pain. We looked at her preparation. All that God was preparing her for. We looked at her prayer life. We looked at the fact that we are being called by God to be women of prayer. But also God that also women that God is preparing too. And in looking at our prayer life, we also looked at our partnerships. Because when we pray, we partner with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We looked at that last week. But we also don't do life on planet isolation, do we? We talked about that last week also. No, we are called for relationship, for partnership. And Esther partnered with her relative Mordecai. She partnered with the maidservants in Susa and the other Jews. And they prayed. And they prayed. So that's the P's that we've looked at so far. And in our final installment this evening, we're going to look at Esther, a woman of praise. Everybody say praise. Praise. If you want to live as a daughter of the King, of the Most High King, then we need to learn to be a woman of praise. Women who praise the Lord. So let's get started. Let's finish off this story tonight. It's always good to end on a high note, I think. It's always good to get to the end of the story and it's a happy ending. I know that I've said it over the years many, 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 many times that I only watch films and read books that have happy endings. Madeline and I have been watching a series and I was greeting. And I couldn't stop greeting because there wasn't a happy ending. So she's in trouble. Been greeting for days. Anyway, so a happy ending. And I'm Firefly Lane. Oh, I'm not going to spoil it. Anyway, it's so good for me to share with you this evening. So good to share with you this evening that this story happens to have a happy ending. So remember, this is not just a story though. This is real life. This happened. This is a real person that we've been learning all about over the last few weeks. You know, folk will say quite often, the Bible, you read the Bible. Is that not just a boring old history book? And it really isn't, is it? It's anything but a boring old history book. Take this one book, this one series that we've just gone through. What have we had? We've encountered abandonment. There's been loss, grief. There's been beauty. There's been romance. There's been flirtation. There's been evil plotting. There's been death. And we shall see this evening, there is also victory. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but this is anything but boring. I would take this over 50 Shades of Grey any day. It is all in there. So we finished off last week looking at the fact that much of Esther's preparation and prayer and partnering with the right people, well, it was all leading up to that one point where God's people would be led out of danger to a place of safety. Because remember, Haman, Boo, the baddie of the story, if his evil plan had gone to plan, then the Jews would have been annihilated, wiped out. She was born, Esther, for such a time as this. And her obedience to God, her courage and her bravery, well, it led to victory. And as we concluded last week, the king responded well to her plea. A lot of preparation went into her going before the king and entering his courts. But when she eventually did, he responded well. As we heard last week, while Esther and the Jews were praying, Haman was plotting. But while they were praying, God was listening and God was responding and he was changing the heart of the king. So now we have this outcome. They have Haman has now been destroyed. Mordecai has been given a place of honor to work alongside Esther in this continued partnership. But what I want is to lean into this evening and something that I believe that this pair totally grasped, something very important. And that is that they both knew that their victory did not come about because of anything that they did. That their victory and the deliverance of the Jewish people, that did not happen because of their own strength. Did you get that? It was nothing that they did. Now, let me just correct myself here. They did get it right, though. Because when faced with a big decision, that was last week's theme, they took it to prayer. They went straight to God. So they did do that. They can take credit for that because they knew what to do when they were faced with making a big decision. They prayed and they fasted. But ultimately, let me share this with you. Ultimately, this couple knew that the deliverance of the Jewish people, their salvation basically came about because of God. That he is deliverer. That he is the one to bring about this victory. Just as Zechariah says, it's not by my power or might, Lord. No. But it's by the Spirit of God. Do you believe it? He is our deliverer. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot save our loved ones. We talked about that last week. But God can. Which brings me on to the fourth and final P. They knew it was God's deliverance. They knew that it was God's handiwork. They knew that it was God that was in control. And when you know that, do you know that? Well, let me tell you something. When you know that it's God and can only be God, then the only way to respond is to praise him. And that is why we are women of praise. Because the only response to a loving Father and a Savior that died to set us free is to praise our socks off. It's the only response. We so often forget to stop and thank God, don't we? When the storm is over. We maybe praise him in the midst of the storm and we pray our hearts out in the midst of the storm. But sometimes when it blows over and we can move on, sometimes we forget to stop and praise him and thank him. It's like when Jesus healed those men and they all got healed and they moved on. But only one came back, didn't they? To praise Jesus, to thank him. chapter 8, verse 16 says this. Esther says, for the Jews, this is the time of deliverance, for the Jews, it was a time of happiness. It was a time of joy. It was a time of gladness and honor. They marked this deliverance by praising God. They made sure that God did not go unnoticed in his victory. And they marked his goodness with a festival. We love a festival. They marked his goodness with a festival. It was called the Festival of Purim. And it's a festival, I'm pleased to say, actually still celebrated throughout the world by the Jews today. And it's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of praise and worship for the Jews. It's a time of feast. It's a time to say thank you to God. You know, we don't need to have a festival to say thanks. We can just come before him any time, any place and say, thank you, Jesus. What do we do when God comes through? That's what we're looking at today, ultimately. What do we do when we get that good news? What do we do when that doctor's report comes in and it says all clear? What do we do when God shows up in a relationship issue and a relationship is reconciled? What do you do? What do you do when the prayers you prayed yesterday are answered today? Are you going to be women who pause and praise God and thank him? As daughters of the King, because that's who we are, as daughters of the King, let us be women who praise and worship God, who offer up our thanksgiving to him. So I want to conclude our series by looking at praise in particular and why praise is so important in our relationship with our King. So we know why Esther and Mordecai and the people of Susa praised God and celebrated. We know that they gave thanks to God. They marked this day with the festival because God had delivered them. But that's actually what's commanded of us. It's expected of us. Psalm 100 verse 4. I know you know this. We will enter his gates with thanksgiving. And we will enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Esther may have entered the inner courts of King Xerxes, but we can enter the inner courts of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings at any time of the day, night or day, because Jesus made a way for you to enter into his courts. But let's not enter his courts without having that praise and thanks on our lips. When you truly grasp, and I know that you have, but when you truly grasp all that the Lord has done for you, just ponder it for a moment. Just think about your own life. Think about your own testimony for a moment. What the Lord has brought you through. What he's saved you from. What he's protected you from. How he's healed you, how he's transformed you, how he's loved you, how he's shared truth with you, how he's convicted you in a way that allowed you to be changed and become a better woman. All of those things. Think about it. What he has done for you. That Jesus, who was without sin, became sin for us. That he took upon his body the sins of the world. That his body was broken and the blood ran down his body so that we could be cleansed. So that we may be free from our past. We talk about that a lot. Free from our hurts and our shame and our embarrassment. When you truly know all that God has done for you, you cannot help but praise him. That is amazing grace. We sang it there. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You're all wishing I'd sung that there, aren't you? There's trained professional singers in the house. There is no chance that I am singing that. Thank you, Jesus, for taking me from the slimy pit. Thank you, Jesus, that I am no longer the woman I used to be. Thank you, Jesus, that I have a future and it's greater than my past. Thank you, Jesus, that you have a purpose for me. Thank you, Jesus, that all might not be well. I might not feel that great today, but Jesus, you're on your throne. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I might not have a lot of money in the bank, but I'm rich in the things of God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you sit down and start to thank God for all the things, if you think, I don't know what to pray, but you start to thank God for things, you'll be there all day. Shona Ballantyne taught me this. You put it in a jar, gratitude jar. You write down all the things that you're thankful for and you put them in a jar. You'll need several jars. So important that we thank him. That's that wonderful assurance that we have that as believers, that it doesn't mean that our lives are free from struggle or strife. You know, there'll still be those days, there'll still be those seasons, but we know that God is for us and that he is with us. And the only way to respond to God on those days, let me tell you something about these days, those days that are hard, those days where it's pouring down, those days where there isn't any money in the bank, those days when everybody seems to want to fight with you, those days where you just don't feel great. It's actually in those days, it's actually in those times that we actually need to praise and worship God all the more. We do, we need to praise in, press in. Praise in, that's good, I'm going to change that. We need to praise in. Praise in, there's a new technical term at Women to Women. We need to pray and praise all the more. And you know, you'll be sick of hearing me say this at Women to Women, but it's so, so true. Praise is not a feeling, because we sometimes go, oh, do you know what? I don't want to praise and worship God today because I'm feeling miserable today. I don't want to praise and worship God today because I'm just not feeling it. I don't want to praise and worship God today. I'm hormonal today. I can't be bothered today. I want to put my jammies on today. I don't want to praise and worship because I don't feel like it. Well, praise and worship's not a feeling. And it's not about us. It's not about how we feel, how good we feel, how not good we feel. It's about him. It's about how good he is. And about how our circumstances are rubbish today. But I choose to worship and pray. I choose to praise and worship him in spite of my circumstances. In fact, what you're doing is you're handing that over to him in that moment and saying, I'm going to praise and worship you regardless of what's going on. I love this from Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, here's the key. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. All was not well here for Habakkuk. Now, it was a very agricultural time. In the Bible, the references are very much to what's going on at the time. So what did they have there? There was no sheep in the pen. What could you say? Ah, oh, well, there's no washing done. There's no food in the fridge. My husband's been a moany git. My children won't do a thing that I've asked them to do. You see where I'm coming from here? You know, it's a different time. You know, shepherds. Well, I don't know if there are any shepherds in the house. We shepherd our kids enough, right enough. There's one wee sheep away. Right on cue. So you can put in your own stuff, right? You can put on your own examples in there. Hey, Christine, put on your own examples in there. And then you get to verse 18 and you say, but yeah, I'm still going to praise him. Stephen's irritating the life out of me today. But yeah, I'm going to praise him. No get any food in the cupboard. The kids are moaning. But yet I'm going to praise him. No money in the bank this week. But yet I'm going to praise him. I think you get the idea. Habakkuk wasn't feeling himself either. But he praised the Lord. And you may be here and you might be in need of a breakthrough right now. Maybe you're here tonight and you're praying and hoping for a victory, some kind of victory in your own life, just like Esther and Mordecai and the Jews were. And for some reason, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. You haven't seen even a glimmer yet. Can I encourage you this evening? Praise him. Praise him even when it hurts, even while it's hurting, even when the tears are rolling down your face. Press in. Praise in. Praise in. Because praise gives way to breakthrough. You will recall the story of Paul and Silas, another one of my favourites in Acts chapter 16 in the New Testament of the Bible. They have been doing great work for God. They have been really going for it. They have been out there in the streets and they've been laying hands on people and they've been healing folk from all kinds of diseases and they've been laying hands on people and healing them from mental health illnesses and all sorts of things. But people weren't happy with them for doing that. So they put them in jail, and here we have them in jail, and they're in chains and stocks, and they're probably cold and wet and hungry, and there's wet, damp, rat-infested jail. They're distressed. They've got no hope. They don't know what the future holds. They don't know if they're going to be executed. They don't know if they're going to be executed like their Savior Jesus, or they don't know if they're just going to rot in that jail for the rest of their life. But instead of giving up, instead of turning their back on God, they chose to do something quite amazing. And at midnight, what they did was they began to sing songs. They began to raise their voice and sing songs. Now, we know this story, don't we? It was during that midnight hour where they lifted up their voices and they began to sing that the cell walls, that the prison walls started to come tumbling down because their praise led to breakthrough. Their praise led to freedom from captivity. Praise will set you free from captivity. But just before you fast forward to the bit after the prison walls came down, I want you to notice something here. They weren't praising God because they knew that in 10 minutes the prison walls were going to come down. So we read that story and we go, hallelujah, the prison walls came down. And the prison walls have come down for me in my life, hallelujah. But we forget that they were praising God in the rat-infested, cold, damp prison when they did not know what was about to happen. For all they knew in that moment that they were going to be there for the rest of their life. Or as I said, executed. And they were sore. Anybody got a sore body tonight? They were sore. It was at that point that they praised and worshipped God. Does that not just blow your mind? It was when they were at their worst that they lifted up their voice. Not after the prison walls came down. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure that when they went back to see the others later on that night, that they had a right old party. And they praised and worshipped God together and gave thanks to God for what took place earlier in the day. They would have done that. But they praised God in the midst of their prison sentence. There's a word there for all of us this evening. And one final thought about this story. Verse 25 says, while they were singing, the other prisoners were listening. The jailer was listening. The jailer was listening to Paul and Silas praising when the prison walls came down. You see, when we praise God, yes, we're just locked into praising God ourselves, and that's great. But actually, has the ability to change others. Did you catch that? When you're a woman of praise, when you live a life abandoned for Jesus, when you live a life praising and worshipping God, it has the potential to transform others. Maybe through the praise and worship at Woman to Woman, you've found yourself being changed. Things shifting in your spirit. And that you yourself are being sanctified day by day. And maybe the changes in you over the years have had an impact, not just in you, but on your husbands, on your boyfriends, on your family, on your children, on your friends, and your neighbors, and your colleagues. It happens. And the jailer, having witnessed all of this, asks, what must I do to be saved? See, the way that you live your life for Jesus, when you are a light in this dark world, others will be so drawn to you They'll be inquisitive. They'll want to know what it is about you that's so different. And one of these days, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, Liz, what must I do to be saved? Doesn't that excite you? So if you've been doing your homework, writing out your response, that when someone asks you to testify to the hope that you have, that was your homework last week. Someone's going to ask you to share that story, and you're going to share that story with them, and then they're going to say to you, Audrey, what must I do to be saved? Your boy's going to come to you, Audrey, and he's going to ask you, this is the word, Audrey, he's going to ask you, Audrey, he is, he's going to ask you, Mum, what must I do to be saved? Claim that, Audrey, for you tonight, that's for you. So they reply, this is how they reply, right? You're looking to, how am I going to reply, right? This is how we reply. Believe in the Lord. So Audrey, this is for your boy. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. So Audrey, claim it for your daughter as well. Take it, okay? That's her answer. Praising God not only changes your life, but it changes the life of those around you. Praise takes our eyes off our circumstances and places our focus and our attention on the one who is able to transform our circumstances. When others see us praising God in spite of the storm and the pain, it blows them away. It blows the socks off them. You know, I only truly learned how to praise and worship God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength after my son died. It's true. I used to praise and worship God fine before my son died, but after my son died, something happened. Something changed. Something shifted. And I praised and worshiped God in a way like I'd never praised and worshiped him before. In the worst time. In the storm. And I know that many of you have stories just like that. So let's tie this up. Esther, a daughter of the king, a princess. We've looked back in history and at this incredibly brave, wise woman, a very young woman. And we've learned some great principles that will encourage and inspire us as women for the future to live the purpose-filled life that God has called us to, though we need to be aware of what it is that he's preparing us for. And by the way, every piece of pain that you've ever gone through in your life, he can use it. He can turn those scattered ashes into something beautiful. He can. He can use that pain. And he's preparing you. He's preparing each and every one of you to be used for his purpose and for his glory. We need to be women of prayer, though. We need to be women who instead of competing with each other, that we come together and we partner with each other. And tonight, what are we hearing? Well, we need to be women who praise and worship God. Be around each other in worship and also be women who are quick on our own to get on our knees and praise and worship God. Let's not wait until everything is okay to praise and worship him. Let's press in even when it hurts. Because as we've heard tonight, praise gives way to victory. It does and it did in Esther's time. So I think tonight, Gabriella, if you want to come back. I think tonight the only way to finish this series on Esther is to stand together this evening and spend just a couple of two songs. We've got a couple of songs that we're just going to finish with. And we're just going to praise and we're just going to worship God together. What has God spoken to you in this series? What has God deposited into your heart through this series? As we sing these songs together this evening, why don't you just give him thanks and praise for what he's revealed to you? And if you're here tonight and you are in the midst of a storm right now, if you're going through some stuff right now, then God has created a space for you right now as we worship him. Give him whatever it is that is weighing down in your heart. Ask him to lift it from your from your mind right now so that you can concentrate in being in that space with him, that divine exchange with him. Praise him. Praise him and let him do the rest. Father, we thank you for this series. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your great love. And we want to just come before your throne of grace. We want to enter your courts right now. And we want to praise you. Regardless of whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley right now, Lord, we just want to say you are great. And you are good. And your mercy endures forever. So Lord, we're thankful tonight. We're grateful tonight. And we want to tell you that as we sing these songs. And perhaps when we finish singing these two songs, Lisa can come back up and she can just pray a blessing over us.